Gracie, written by James Maloney and read by Kate Hosking and Peter Hardy.
Dougie. We're inside the police station, at the back where the jail is, standing round, me and Raymond, and two coppers. We're waiting for something, or someone, I think. One of the coppers is the one who plays footy in Raymond's team. Well, what was Raymond's team? This bloke says, "I had to pull out of the team today because of this bloody demo your mates are putting on, Raymond. All hands to the pump," says the sergeant. "And I didn't even get to hang around and watch it. I have to bring you in here, and as sure as eggs I'll get watch house duty now. We better win that final." The two coppers feel us over, the big apes, looking for knives and stuff, I suppose. I've never been in a cell before. I'm scared, but I'm sort of excited too, like I'm as good as Raymond now. The sergeant comes in, his face like a red balloon. "Which one threw the can?" he asks. One of the coppers nods his head at Raymond. The sergeant steps across a couple of paces, getting a run-up, and punches Raymond in the guts. Raymond drops like a sandbag and lies moaning on the floor. "There, you piece of black shit," the sergeant says like he was telling the time. "Paul's got half his ear hanging off thanks to you. Needs a dozen stitches, they reckon." He turns away and leaves the other two coppers to drag Raymond into a cell. I'm scared shitless the same's going to happen to me. When the copper speaks to me, I nearly jump out of my skin. "You're Raymond's brother, aren't you?" When I nod, he says, "Better put the two of you in the one cell then. You can keep an eye on Raymond. He's not going to feel too good for a while."
Gracie. The banging on the door woke me, the same as it woke everyone in the house. I was sleeping on a mattress on my auntie's bedroom floor, which added to my disorientation, but worse still, the vibrations from that urgent pounding radiated up through the floor and mattress to petrify me. I curled into a tight ball under the blankets, barely aware of Auntie Flo as she stepped over me towards the door. "This is the police. Please open the door. We are not here to make arrests." Auntie Flo opened the door and I heard muffled voices on the landing outside, then footsteps as my aunt returned. "Gracie," she called to me softly, "get dressed quick. We have to go down to the station." "Are they letting Dougie and Raymond out?" I asked, already on my knees and searching frantically in the darkness for my clothes. "What's going on? It's the middle of the night." "No, there's been an accident. One of the boys. They won't say what, and I don't think the blokes out there even know whether it's Raymond or Dougie that's hurt." It was freezing in the front yard, our breaths condensing in the still air and showing up in the light shed by the car. "What's happened?" I asked.
"Best wait until we're at the station," said the driver.
He and his young partner had been sent to pick us up, but they didn't want to know about anything else.
"Are they all right?" "Look, we're not in a position to say a thing. Best to speak to the sergeant."
I'd given them two chances to tell me my brothers were okay, and they had ducked both of them. The dread which had been building in me since yesterday afternoon boiled over, and I found myself breathing too fast, unable to control my chest. Auntie Flo took my hand and the warm human touch soothed me just enough to keep my head clear. This ride to the station seemed to be taking forever. When we pulled up, lights streamed out of every window in the police station, now alive with people, unlike that afternoon when it had appeared so deserted. We were hurried up the steps past the inquiries desk where Dougie had argued so violently with the policeman over the bones he had found, and into a large room where the sergeant was waiting for us. He didn't muck around, just launched straight in. "I'm very sorry to inform you that your brother has been found dead in his cell. It seems he hanged himself with a football sock." The room immediately erupted with a pitiful sound of desperate sobbing, and there was movement as a chair was hauled over from the edge of the room by one of the policemen standing by. But I was strangely aware that it wasn't me who was making the noise. I was still standing silently in front of the big policeman. No tears, and though my legs were weakening at the knees, no collapse was imminent. The sergeant stared at me as though I should be crumpled into a chair like my auntie, crying out great sobs of misery and that there was something wrong with me because I resisted. I didn't understand it myself at first, but after a few seconds it became clear. I was waiting. Waiting. Waiting for this mongrel white man to tell me the rest. I heard my own voice say, "Two of my brothers were arrested today." Still, the sergeant didn't twig. He thought he'd told me the worst news I would ever want to hear from him, but he had used the words, your brother. There was still the more specific horror to be revealed.